Newstalk ZB, 17 past 6. While Fletcher Building's troubles are continuing, not surprisingly perhaps, to make corporate headlines this week, the question remains, how could this happen in the midst of a construction boom? Brian Gaynor is from Milford Asset Management. He's with me. Good evening to you, Brian.
Good evening, Rachel.
So what's the problem then? The fixed price contracts.
Yeah, one of them is fixed price contracts, and this is a big change from the previous boom that we've had back in the 1980s. The new concept is you bid on a fixed price and you've got to complete the project on that price. So if the cost of doing it goes up, you can charge it to the customer. And the Fletcher Building had two major, if not more, fixed price contracts. One was the Justice Building in Christchurch, and the other one is the Convention Centre in Auckland. And it looks like the prices are going to be substantially higher to complete than what they actually tendered for. So this is a major drawback to construction companies when they do fixed price contracts and they get their costing wrong, because it can lead to some big losses.
In the midst of a construction boom, though, you are more likely to have some real price fluctuations, aren't you, though? I can't remember who I was interviewing the other day, and they said in a building boom, then that's when you do have sometimes these huge swings. And that's what can lead to fixed price contracts being, you know, underpriced.
Oh, yes, it can be. But of course, you've got to anticipate that when you actually make the bid. I mean, that's one of the key things you've got to do, is anticipate what's going to happen to the market. And this is one of the problems here, is that we do have a shortage of skilled labor in the building sector. I mean, if you look back at what happened in the 80s, after the boom was over, the government at the time decided to stop some of the incentive to encourage people to take up the trades. And there's been a huge swing to people going to universities to do law, accounting after that, and there's been a shortage of trade skills. So as soon as you get a boom conditions, it means that people in those industries are in short supply. If we don't have enough immigrants coming in, it exacerbates the problem. And of course, what can happen is that people in the trades can charge a lot more than they might have pre-boom. Mm. And so you have a combination of, and this is what a company has to do. It has to anticipate the boom. It's interesting to look at. We've just passed, according to statistics, New Zealand, 4.8 million population. When we had the last boom 30 years ago, we had 3.4 million population. The population has increased 41%. Mm. But we actually don't have a big increase in people working in trades. In fact, the number of working in the trades has contracted over that period.
Yeah, well, they're calling out for more people, and thousands more people, I think, as well. What impact then, given it's an election year, given that immigration is such a hot button topic, what impact would a cut in migration numbers have on the construction sector and on companies like Fletcher Building?
Well, I think it'll have a bad impact if we continue to have the level of construction activity that we have. And of course, there's a huge spend in infrastructure having to come up. We haven't completed modernizing our roads. We haven't completed modernizing all our infrastructure. And we certainly are not building enough houses at the moment. We're building less houses than we were back in the 1980s, when the population was 1.4 million less than it is today. So if we cut back in migration, and particularly that impacts on tradespeople coming into the country, that will exacerbate the situation for Fletcher Building and all the other construction companies.
Why is New Zealand having a net migration inflow from Australia at the moment?
It's fascinating to look at the difference between the employment figures in Australia and New Zealand. There's been a stronger growth in employment in New Zealand. In other words, we are creating much more jobs relative to Australia. But the big thing in Australia is over 60% of the new jobs created in the last 3 or 4 years are part-time jobs rather than full-time jobs. It's people getting jobs, say, working in a retail store on a Saturday and Sunday, but not working the full 5 days over the week. So although the Australian unemployment rate is reasonably low, the level of what we call underemployed people not getting full work when they want to get full work, is certainly much higher than New Zealand. Whereas the new jobs being created in New Zealand are full-time jobs. People can work 5 days a week, they're not working part-time.
Brian Gaynor, appreciate your time this evening. Thank you. From Milford Asset Management.